South Carolina running game is going to be just fine, even without Marcus Lattimore, according to their play-by-play man, Todd Ellis.
Oh, let me tell you, Kenny Miles is a productive football player, and the backup, Mike Davis, is a freshman that we think can be, you know, as good as some of the tops we've had in the last 10 years here. He's very explosive. So, Kenny Miles ran for 100 yards and filling in for Marcus last year when he was injured against Clemson and just exploded in the bowl game. We have great confidence in him. The run game would not be the reason that we would lose to Arkansas. There may be other reasons, but it would not be because Marcus was not there.
Yes, Arkansas's one thin hope was dashed yesterday by Todd Ellis. Thanks so much. Let's bring Chris Bond in here from Arkansas. Well, Arkansas Business. Sorry. It's old habits die hard. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. I guess I'm sort of close to Mountain Home.
Are you working your way back from Jonesboro?
I am.
What a great night last night for the program, huh?
Yeah. It was. I was stunned at the crowd size and kind of the energy that the crowd had, and then of course, you know, Gus has got that offense rolling right now, so they're doing okay over there in Jonesboro.
Chris, there were, on television, I don't want to be negative here in any way, because it was a second biggest crowd ever, but it did look like a lot of open seats. What's the actual capacity at that stadium?
It's probably a little over 30. I don't think, you know, I mean, I don't know. I didn't hand count them. I don't think they were over 30,000. I think they may have gotten a little excited.
That happens.
You know, fudge the numbers a little bit, but it was a great crowd. I mean, for Jonesboro, for a Thursday night.
Yeah, weeknight games are tough.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the context of it. In November, I mean, was it an SEC crowd? No, of course not. But for that program, which I think probably drew about 15,000 or less last year when they played to win a Sun Belt title, mm-hmm. and to clinch an undefeated season for the first time in a million years, and they couldn't top 20,000 for that game. Wow. So what they did last night, I think it's a step in the right direction. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Gus and some of the folks there, Carter Ford and the new AD, Terry Mahajer. They're doing good work, man.
Yeah, it's all relative. Look, I mean, there's an electrifying atmosphere at UCA when there's 11,000 people in the stands, so it's all relative, and you can have an unbelievable atmosphere and a great home field advantage without having 100,000 people there, so...
Yep.
That's great for them. And again, big win. But man, and you talked about it on Twitter, Chris. They're in a great position now with two games to go. And I hit you back on there and said two big games. I mean, you got to go to Troy, and then it's Middle in Jonesboro, right?
Yeah, they get Middle. I think it's December 1st is the season finale. So
those are two very difficult games.
Yep. Troy's a tough opponent, a tough place to play. So it's, you know, it's going to be difficult for them. It won't be easy. They have put themselves in really great position and, you know, look a lot better off than maybe they did when they lost to, to Western early in the year and then kind of stumbled through a few of those other games. You know, the defense is starting to play well, so I like the chances closing out strong.
Two things I learned this morning by listening to the show with no name. Tommy Smith is not ready for basketball season.
Yes,
and that ASU with a Sun Belt Conference championship does not automatically go to the New Orleans Bowl. I did not know that.
Yeah. They could go, well, thanks to the SEC and some of the other power conferences, there may actually be a few other options. Last year, you know, they won the Sun Belt title and they wound up going to the GoDaddy Bowl because Lafayette, I think it was Lafayette or Monroe, was one of the Louisiana schools.
I think it was Lafayette, yeah.
Yep. Was going to draw a better crowd there. The Sun Belt felt like they, you know, they could make more money that way, and it worked out better for ASU because they got a better time slot, they got a little more money out of it. So I don't know, Liberty Bowl folks were in the house last night, so if you're ASU, you know, and you've got a chance between the Liberty Bowl or the New Orleans Bowl, you probably wouldn't mind a trip to Memphis. Bigger payout, closer for your fans, and
yeah,
all that stuff.
Exponentially better venue in New Orleans, but like you said, there's a huge upside to go to Memphis, and if it's an off chance you get good weather, it could be unbelievable. And I know that community pays close attention over there, what's going on with them. I know, wasn't the biggest crowd the Memphis game a while back?
Yeah, their biggest crowd has been when they played Memphis. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, it is. It would be great from a geographic standpoint for them to play. The only thing for me is, though, having covered their last trip to the New Orleans Bowl, I would like another crack at that because I got cheaped which, believe me, in the big scheme of things, it was a pretty minor deal. But the reason they didn't play there, of course, was because of Hurricane Katrina. They played it in Lafayette instead, which was fine.
It's not New Orleans.
It ain't New Orleans. It's not close to New Orleans. In fact, it's not even like a street on in New Orleans. And I'm not even talking about Bourbon.
Not even Magazine Street.
It's not even Canal. I mean, it's not Esplande. None of those.
It did feel like the most ASU thing ever for them to finally clinch a spot in the New Orleans Bowl and it be in Lafayette. I mean, it did.
Yeah, good news, bad news. And then, for good measure, they get smacked around by Southern Miss. So, but nevertheless, things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, even in, what was that, six, seven years, they've made some tremendous strides.
Chris, I don't care if Gus Malzahn stays there a year or he stays there 22 years. If they can, every year they have success, the conversation is always going to be had.
Yep.
Well, he's a candidate for this job. What's the feeling over there? How concerned are they? Because let's be honest, there are some really good jobs coming open.
Yeah, I think they're aware that he's going to be a hot name. I think for the most part, they feel like he's pretty invested, and I think as long as he feels like the administration is making progress and delivering on some of the things they promised, like the facilities, and you know, they can continue to help him find some money for assistance. I think as long as that's intact, I think he may surprise some folks. I think he may wind up being there a little while. I mean, and that's all relative too. I mean, that may, you know, we may be a little while, maybe 3 years. But you know, we're talking about a guy that had already turned down, you know, $2.5-3 million to go to Vanderbilt. So I don't think he's a guy that's driven by, you know, making a ton of money.
Do you get a sense from him what would be his dream job?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't. We haven't talked that in depth about it. I do think he's much more interested in staying within the region that he's familiar with. I think last year he had a chance. And this is from talking to some people that know him. He had a chance, I think, to interview for Hawaii and for UCLA, and didn't feel like those were going to be good fits for him. And I think it would probably have to be somewhere in the SEC or the South. But I think he's pretty happy.
I would love
to worry that.
With all due respect, for ASU, and I love the fact that he's there, and I hope that they continue to win a lot. I would love to have seen him gone to UCLA and smash Lane Kiffin for the next couple of years. That would have been fun. Or he could have gone to Hawaii and smashed Lane Kiffin for that matter.
Yeah, you know, it's getting harder and harder to defend Lane Kiffin.
Yes, how could you defend him? He's terrible. He's a terrible person.
He's deflating balls out there. What is it wrong with this guy?
Well, I think we all know that Lane Kiffin's had deflated balls for some time now. Let's not kid ourselves. And the thing is, the fact that he threw the guy under the bus saying,
manager.
He acted alone. Lee Harvey Oswalded him. I had nothing to do with those ball deflation. Come on, man.
I hate to say it because I really have. I've kind of enjoyed him. I like him when people are brash and a little cocky, but he's a clown.
Okay, well, if you want brash and cocky but cool, try Scott Maxfield at Henderson State. If you want brash and cocky Delta Bravo, he resides at USC. okay, so Arkansas, South Carolina. We talked at length yesterday with Todd Ellis, the play-by-play voice of the Gamecocks. Unfortunately, he gave us nothing to be excited about because apparently their backup running backs are pretty good too. Connor Shaw's 100%, and they're probably going to destroy Arkansas. At least that was his take on it. What say you, Chris Bond?
Well, I'm encouraged by the fact they gave up, 350-plus passing yards to Tennessee. So I think Arkansas, assuming, of course, that Clowney and the other guy don't, break Tyler Wilson's leg 3 plays into the game. If that line can hold up at all and give him a little bit of time to throw, I think Arkansas can throw against them. So that's encouraging. I do wonder a little bit what South Carolina has to play for at this point. So, what's their motivation going to be now that they're out of the BCS title game picture, and probably, let's all be honest, I know they're holding out hope they could somehow get into a BCS game mix, but I think that ship has sailed for them.
Probably,
you just wonder maybe if they'll be a little less motivated than they would have been otherwise, and the fact that Arkansas can throw against them, that gives me reason for hope.
There's
Shaw's been banged up. Lattimore, yeah. I don't care what they say. That whoever this other guy is, he can't be as good as Marcus Lattimore, right?
No, yeah, no, he's not. I don't think either. But I mean, apparently he's been an adequate running back. But yeah, Lattimore is a difference maker for sure, and he has looked very much the part of the preseason hype guy. Now, Nile Davis got similar hype, but unfortunately has not been up to the task. Defensively, Chris, here's my question. If you're Arkansas, can you find another receiver that you consider to be a viable option outside of Kobe Hamilton? Because that, if anything, that has been Tyler's one big issue lately is throwing at Kobe in single coverage, no coverage, double coverage, quadruple coverage. Hasn't made any difference. He just throws it at him and hopes for the best, and usually it works out fine, but there are a lot of situations where you throw into double coverage and bad things happen. As good as Kobe is and as good as Tyler is, that's not a good move. And of course, Chris Gregg is out this week again. So, you know, we also talked about this, Chris, and I don't know if you've heard anything on this, but what is Mikhail McKay around? What happened to him?
He's disappeared. I don't know.
How do you hide a 6 foot 6 inch guy? I don't know, but he has disappeared.
Yeah, they need more out of him. You know, I'll tell you, I shouldn't say he's impressed me because he hasn't put up a lot numbers-wise. But, boy, they've gotten Demetrius Wilson. He's come up with some really big catches for them. And they may, in fact, they may be his only two catches of the year. But they've gotten some big catches out of that guy. I would like to see him get worked in a little more. I think Tyler could help himself if they would work Jonathan Williams back into the passing game. That worked really well for him a few weeks ago. And Dennis Johnson, you know, they've got some receivers who are weapons there. And I think that would help Tyler and help open some things up for those other receivers. So
how loud do I have to scream wheel route for him to hear me?
I don't know, but where has that been?
I don't know.
That worked beautifully against Kentucky.
Two times.
Twice. Yep.
Two times, as R.J. Hawk would say. What about Nate Holmes? We're going to see him on offense at all? He's explosive, and he's been, boy, what a nice, solid punt returner, which is an underappreciated facet of the game. It's nice to see a guy go back that you think is going to catch every single punt that comes to him.
They need to get him worked in on offense, because he is. He's a very explosive kid. If you can figure out how to get the ball into his hand, maybe he doesn't make the big play every time, but the threat's there.
I do like this. Here, run. Kind of like that.
Take it.
It's called a bubble screen. You might look into it. That's the thing that, you know, we see a lot of teams do it. I mean, we saw ASU do it a lot last night, and they've got some nice receivers. But, boy, Arkansas's got some explosive guys. You got to think if you could get them out in space on a tunnel screen, bubble screen, something out there, that they could do something pretty nice with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why we haven't seen more of that. But, you know, I'm not an offensive coordinator making $425,000 a year. So what do I know?
I'm an offensive coordinator making no money whatsoever.
But it seems like that would be a good plan of attack.
Yeah, you might mix it in now and again. Get your guys out
here,
in space. I mean,
here and there.
Yeah, you got a few guys that are pretty good at making the first guy miss. I don't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah.
So what else is I going to ask you about defensively? Anything newsworthy over there that you've heard about this week?
No, I'm trying to think.
Williams is not going to play.
Right, he's out.
He may be back at the LSU game with Brandon Mitchell.
Yep, Brandon Mitchell, maybe he'll get a chance to come back. I will tell you this, as fourth-string middle linebackers go, both of Peters ain't too shabby.
That's exactly right.
So I continue to be encouraged by what we see out of Peters and A.J. Turner. And those guys are kind of making it up as they go along this year, but I think they're going to be really, really good before it's all said and done.
Any updates on the Arkansas coaching search? Anything legitimate?
I wouldn't say anything legitimate, although I did see a guy who follows these things nationally tweet that Gary Patterson is the leading candidate. Peter Spell from CoachingSearch.com.
Yeah, I've heard that in recent weeks that he's a viable candidate all of a sudden.
Yeah, and the only way that makes sense, and I was talking with Michael Felder on Twitter about this from Bleacher Report. You guys have him on.
Yeah, I love Michael,
by the way.
He's great.
And he was like, "What? How does this make sense?" The only thing I could figure is 10, 11, 12 years in one job is a lot of time for people to get sick of each other's crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've been in a job for 12 years, you've had the same bosses, the same people in your ear, it's probably easier to irritate them than for them to irritate you. So,
you know, my 10-year anniversary at the Buzz is next year.
Just
saying.
Yep.
You passed a 7-year itch, though, in your marriage. That was good.
How long have you and Pat been together?
I don't know. How long have we been together, buddy?
It's all repressed, my man. I just show up every day like it's my first one here.
Did you get here 7? 07?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, yeah. So. A couple more years, y'all be strangling each other on air.
It's our 5-year anniversary.
Like 10 years.
It's 5-year anniversary. Aren't you supposed to take me somewhere nice and take advantage of me? Buy me tropical drinks? I mean, I got totally gypped on this deal. It's been a great partnership for sure.
Y'all work well together. Y'all are a cute couple.
I appreciate that. One of these years I'm going to get to be the man in the relationship. Chris, I have never been convinced of this until yesterday. And every time there is a ton of smoke, there's usually a flame somewhere. I am now convinced 100% that Gene Chizik will not be the head coach at Auburn next year.
Yep, and I know that breaks your heart.
I'm proud of myself. I got over it. I was able to revel in the fact that Iowa State had just enough success that I quit hating on Gene Chizik. And I'm also convinced that if he had stayed there, they never would have reached the kind of, very limited heights, but at least bowl game status that they reached under Paul Rhodes. So, I'm not thrilled about it. I hate to see a guy lose his job. By all accounts, I don't know anybody who has been around him and has worked with him that didn't say he's a great person. So that's far more important than being a great football coach, I guess. And I'm sure he'll land somewhere as a defensive coordinator at the very least.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about...
I think he's done. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's over.
What does that put the athletic director? He was a guy that obviously won national championship, but from what I understood, he was trying anything he could to give Gene Chizik at least another year as long as he could to...
Well, when you win two games and one is an overtime victory against a Sun Belt team that you had to trick play your way to a victory in that one...
Has this ever happened? The guy won a national championship 2 years ago, and we know the whole backdrop of the story. Cam Newton.
Ralph Friedgen was fired from Maryland the year he won the Coach of the Year in the ACC. Same year.
Yeah, they're just in such disarray, and I don't know if you guys probably saw this, but they're having to hire private investigators to help enforce curfew over their players. They've had a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't had a lot of retention with players when they've signed a whole bunch of these, top 10 recruiting classes and they wound up with a lot of guys.
It's not important that you get the players. It's important that you keep the players. It's like a reservation. To quote the great philosopher and pop culture icon Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? Well, you know what Gene Chizik's done for you lately? Gotten himself fired.
You know what? His two, both of those coordinators leaving last year, was a signal of what was happening there.
Yeah,
of things to come.
I think more so, Chris. I think he was run off. I think Gus Malzahn was run off. I think there was a conversation. I am more convinced by the information I've gotten that Gus Malzahn, and he will never say it because he's class. And I do think Gene Chizik's a pretty classy guy. I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a good guy. I think the conversation was had. Listen, we are committed to becoming a pro style offense. The guys up the road just won another national title with a pro style offense. We don't want to run fun and gun. We want to do the traditional deal. We think we can get the athletes to do that. So if you're willing to do that, cool. If not, adios. Okay, I'm out. Yep. So guess what? Got him fired.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is this: Gus believes very strongly in his system. So
yes,
and I think he's probably really happy to be in a spot where he can just run it. And if he wants to go 5 wide on 4th and 1 from the 1, he can do it.
You know who else is convinced that his system's good?
Who?
Gene Chizik. At least he should be at this point.
I think Chizik's probably wishing that hadn't happened.
All right. Well, Chris, have a safe trip the rest of the way home to Fayetteville, and we will talk to you again in the not too